Good day, Pantano. How are you doing today? All right. Hey, I was out in the courtyard earlier. I was seeing a bunch of y'all come in, and I thought to myself, these people look good. I mean, y'all look good coming in today. And here's the thing. When you look good, you tend to feel good. And when you feel good, you just stand back sometimes, and you go, it's all good. I got a good feeling that today we're going to have some good things happen in this message. And we're going to see some goodness come forth. Now, if I haven't had a chance to introduce myself, my name is Michael Goodwin. This week, we are continuing in our series called Manifest. It is on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and I want to challenge you to guess just which fruit we're talking about this week. See, last week, Glenn kicked off our series. I love the illustration he had. He had the blender full of fruit, and then he blended it all up into like a Holy Spirit smoothie. If you guys can let me know where to get a Holy Spirit smoothie, I'm totally down. Could probably use those a couple of times a week. But this week, we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit, which is goodness. I don't know how y'all knew that. Some of you guys already figured that out. Maybe that's the reason I started out today by saying the word good or goodness over and over and over again. This entire series is based out of Galatians chapter 5 in verse 22 and verse 23. It talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So let me just give us a review this morning about what are the fruit of the Holy Spirit and what they are. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Here's what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, which means patience. It's kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So today we're going to be talking about goodness. And I have a question for you, especially for those of you online. I was a host last week, and I want you to type in the chat window. I want you to answer this question. What does the word good or goodness mean to you? Just type that in. If you're here with us on campus, turn to someone close to you and just answer that question. What is the word good or goodness? What does that mean to you? You guys got to beat the 9 a.m., so let's go. Talk to someone next to you. What does the words good or goodness mean to you? See, I asked that question because as I prepared for this week, I had to really ask myself, do I even know what that word even means? Do I know what the word good or goodness means? I mean, does that mean you're just a nice person, you do nice things? I mean, I had some bacon in the cafe this morning. It was good. So what does that mean? I mean, what does good even really mean? Does it mean that you're nice, you're okay? To me, when I think about goodness and good, it just means that you're average, you're competent. And what does that do for you? Because if you really want to be recognized for someone, you got to be outstanding, you got to be awesome, you got to be exceptional. So the word good and goodness doesn't necessarily have that pull for me. Maybe it does for you, but for me, it didn't really have a lot of weight to it. And then I thought through it and I said, wait a minute, does our society even recognize how important good or goodness is? And I started pondering that for a second and I realized something. I don't think it does. In fact, I would say our society, our culture actually values the opposite of good, which is bad. And let me prove it to you. I started thinking about, you know, the past many decades of popular music and songs that have become popular. And there's a guy named George Thorogood who came up with a song, and it goes something like this. Da-na-na-na-na, bad to the bone. Da-na-na-na-na, I'm bad to the bone. Then it comes to my favorite part. He goes, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-bad. I sound just like him, in case you didn't know that. But George Thorogood is not saying, good, 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 good. And then I thought again, I was like, wait a minute, that's George Thorogood, bad to the bone. But then we have the king of pop. Michael Jackson himself came out with an entire album called Bad. The lead song is called Bad. And in that song, Michael Jackson asked, who's bad? He's not asking who's good. He's asking who's bad. I loved that song when I was a kid. I loved that song so much that I desperately wanted a black leather jacket. Because I knew if I owned this black leather jacket, then I was going to look bad, man. Unfortunately, I had a mom who wanted to have a good boy. And she said, "You are not getting a black leather jacket, Michael. It's not going to happen." But that's the reality is, you know, goodness or good doesn't have that cultural appeal. When I thought about what does that word even mean, so I did some studying. And what I want to do today is present you with what I believe is more of a biblical definition. When you study this word in the original language, the word good and goodness has a very rich and substantial meaning. And let me give you that definition today. Goodness in the Bible is this. Goodness is godly character that manifests in integrity and generosity. Now, let me break that down a little bit. See, goodness consists of godly character. And when you study godly character, you begin to see there's this close relationship with God's character and the whole idea of holiness. See, God is absolutely pure. He is undefiled. There is nothing evil. There is no sin. There is nothing dark within him in his nature. In his very nature, he is absolutely pure. And so he is holy, and godly character has a strong association with holiness. It's the holiness that he actually calls us to walk in, to do away with sin, to seek to live a life that is seeking God's right ways and moving away from sin. See, godly character has this association with holiness. Godly character that manifests in integrity. What's integrity? Integrity, the most simplistic definition of integrity is this. It's what you see is what you get. There's no pretense. There's no falsehood. There's no deception. Those with integrity, they do the right thing, even if it's not popular. Those with integrity are very trustworthy. You can trust what they say. They're going to come through. I can tell you one thing. I've spent a lot of time in the last 2.5 years with our lead pastor, Glenn Elliott. What you see is what you get on the stage here. He's a man who walks in integrity. And that is part of the definition of goodness. It's godly character, this holiness manifested in integrity and generosity. Now listen, here's something that I found fascinating, is that the Greek word, the New Testament was originally written in Greek, and the Greek word for generosity is the same exact Greek word that sometimes is used for good or goodness. In fact, there was a story that Jesus told. Jesus was here on earth in his earthly ministry. There was a rich young man who was probably morally upright who ran up to Jesus and said, "What must I do, good teacher, to inherit eternal life?" I'm going to paraphrase the story for you. And Jesus looks at him and he says, "Wait a second, why do you call me good?" And so we have to look at that and go, what is the definition of goodness? And he says to him, he says, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered to him and he says, "No one is good except God alone." So we have this definition of goodness. It's godly character, this holiness that manifests in integrity and generosity. And then Jesus shows us the absolute standard for goodness is God himself. You see, this rich young man came up and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." And the standard and the measuring point, the fixed point of reference for goodness is God himself. I don't know what type of church you grew up in, but I grew up in a lot of different churches growing up. And there was this saying that we had, and we said it all the time. Maybe you've heard it. It was, "God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good." Let's do that again. That felt good. "God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good." Now, I want you guys to put some goodness in it this time. We're going to do it one last time. I want you to reach deep down. We're going to church today. Say, "God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good." All right, that's good. That'll preach right there. See, God is good. He is the fixed reference for goodness. So there's this biblical definition of the word good or goodness, godly character manifested in integrity and generosity. And then we look and Jesus shows us that no one is good except God. Little did that rich young man know that when he was talking to Jesus, the Messiah, he was actually talking to God himself. So the fixed reference point of good or goodness is God himself. So the definition and the reference point. What does that do for me and you? I mean, you can go, okay, I get the biblical definition. That's good. And then we can look and go, God is the fixed reference of all goodness. He is good himself. But Michael, that's God. I mean, what does that do for me? I mean, I know God is good, or I would assume God is good, but what does that do for me? How do I get that goodness in my own life? How do I allow the Holy Spirit of God to work within me to allow that goodness to be manifest? Let me give you the answer. Goodness starts in the heart. See, God's goodness flows from the heart and it comes from the inside out. There is an eternal internal work that the Spirit of God does. God's goodness flows from the heart and it comes from the inside out. That's not my idea. That's actually God's idea. Jesus said that very clearly. I want us to go to Luke chapter 6. We're going to be in verses 43 through 45. We're going to hear what Jesus has to say about goodness and good and where it comes from. It comes from the heart. Listen to what he has to say here. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. Listen to this part. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. You see that one sentence? Jesus used the word good three separate times. He says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. You see, the condition and the state of your heart will eventually be revealed. What's inside will eventually be shown. Jesus says that. He says, listen, a good tree will bear good fruit. A bad tree will bear bad fruit. And you can try to hide it. You can come to church with your church face on and say, praise the Lord, I'm doing great. But eventually, what's inside your heart, the condition of your heart, will come out. And Jesus says it's manifested in your words. And guess what your words do? Your words have a way to control your actions. See, the condition and state of your heart will be revealed. And yet we have Jesus here saying, look, a good man brings good things from the things stored up in his heart. The good things stored up in his heart. You can fake it as long as you want. Eventually, the state of your heart will absolutely be revealed. And that brings us to our final question this morning. So we have the definition of goodness. We've established that God really is the ultimate standard. He's the fixed reference point of goodness. We now know that goodness flows out from the heart, from the inside out. And it brings us to this question, how does our heart become good? I mean, I think that's the thing that we have to wrestle with. How does the heart become good? How does the Spirit of God work in our lives in such a way where the fruit of God's goodness will be manifested from our heart, from the inside out? See, that's what the Holy Spirit does. And I thought through that question for a little bit. And here's the deal. With the Holy Spirit, you can't put Holy Spirit in a box. There are so many different ways that the Holy Spirit can work in your life to mold you and to shape your heart into something that flows out the goodness of God from that place. But as I went through the question myself, I realized something. Man, when you think about the heart is a powerful, powerful thing. The scripture talks about the heart over 1,000 times. And when it talks about the heart, what does it mean in the Bible when it talks about the heart? It means this. It means that it is the spiritual part of us where your emotions and your desires dwell. And the heart is a powerful thing. Look, if you've ever had a real broken heart, you know the power that the heart holds. So how do we have this goodness? How do we have our hearts transformed by God so that good flows out from that place? I believe one of the ways the Spirit of God works is this: as you experience the goodness of God, your heart will become good. See, the Holy Spirit is constantly at work. And one of the ways the Holy Spirit works within our lives is he is constantly trying to reveal to us the nature and character of God himself. And God, in his essence, is fundamentally good. And listen, if you're visiting with us today, if you're joining us for the first time online, if you're just trying to explore and find out, who is this God? Who is this God that, Michael, you're saying is good? Well, let me share a little bit about our good God with you today. You see, our good God doesn't treat us as we deserve to be treated. I'm so grateful for that. Amen. See, each of our lives, no matter where you've been, where you've come from, you've experienced some level of brokenness, you've experienced some level of hurt and pain, and you know what happens when you've experienced those things? You have a tendency to act out and cause hurt and brokenness and pain in others. But when we encounter God, guess what he does not do? He does not step into that place and cause us pain and hurt and brokenness. In fact, when our good God steps into our life, he actually comes to heal and restore those things that are broken. He actually comes to remove the pain and the brokenness from your life because God is good. It's his nature. It's who he is fundamentally. He does not treat us as we deserve to be treated, but he treats us with mercy, with grace, and with kindness. Let's go back for a second to our definition of goodness. See, it's godly character manifested in integrity. In integrity, there's no falsehood in integrity. There's absolute truth in integrity. Jesus has perfect integrity. Jesus can do nothing but speak the truth to you. And when he speaks the truth, because he's good, guess what happens? He will speak the truth and it will set you free. That is the desire of Jesus himself. When God speaks, he can only speak truth. It is his native language. It is his native tongue. There is no falsehood in God at all. God is the standard of integrity. And God is also generous, incredibly generous. I can't tell you how many ways in my life that I've been able to experience God's generosity. One of the gifts I've been given is the fact that I'm standing up here today telling you of his goodness is a gift from a generous God. It says in the first chapter of James, verse 17, that he gives us every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. And we have a good God who desires to give us good things, to pour out good things in our life. He is full of goodness. And as a good father, he desires his children to receive the good things that he gives us. You know, I thought through that. Well, how are some of the ways that I see God's goodness? And I've received so much mercy from God. I am grateful he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. Because if he did, I'm dead meat, y'all. I'm just letting you know right here. Some of y'all know my story. There's no hope for Michael Goodwin if he treats us as we deserve. But he is full of grace and mercy. He doesn't stop there. He leans into restoration and healing and wholeness. It is his nature. And you know what you need to do sometimes? You need to get your phone, you need to put it face down, you need to walk outside and stare at the mountains. Because God's creation declares that he is good. If you go back to the first chapter of Genesis where it talks about everything being created, this earth, here's what happens. Each day, God steps into creation. And at the end of each day, what does God say? And God said, it is good. And then when he's made man and woman, you know what he said at the end of that day? It was very good. And when you look at creation, you look at the complexity, the beauty, you see the majesty, the splendor, and the glory of God unveiled in his creation. Because even creation cries out that God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. Amen. See, as you experience the goodness of God, your heart will become good. And that's where goodness and good flows out from. See, the Holy Spirit is constantly working. And let me give you an insight. You can actually cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. One way that you can grow in your understanding of the character and the nature of God and allow the Holy Spirit to work within you to bring forth the fruit of the Holy Spirit and manifest it in goodness is this: spending daily time with God himself. Spending time feeding, memorizing, soaking your mind in his word. Spending time in prayer. Maybe God will call you to a fast to put things aside so you can encounter this good God yourself. And our desire is to actually equip you in order to do that. And Pastor Glenn made up this guide that we have available for you called Invite the Spirit to Transform You. And all you have to do to get that, we have it available on our website, or you can just text the word Spirit to 46356. It's our desire that each of you would cultivate a lifestyle of seeking God daily. I'm glad you're here. I hope you're being fed, but eating one meal a week ain't gonna get you by. That'll preach. There's a daily thing the Spirit of God wants to do to reveal who God is and what he does and his goodness in your life. God is so good in so many different ways, and I can tell you a ton of stories myself, but I actually want to invite a friend of mine up this morning, Ralph. Why don't you guys welcome Ralph? I've invited Ralph up to share with us today. Ralph, how you doing, man?
I'm well. Thank you
good
for your message.
You. Take
Thanks
a seat.
For having me.
So I know what y'all are thinking. Is this your twin brother, Michael? And I get it. I get why you think that, but he's not my twin. So, Ralph, we've been hanging for the last 6 months, spending quite a bit of time together. I've had a chance to get to know some of your story. And you shared with me that there was a time in your life where things were just dark. Everything was completely broken. And during that time, you encountered God's goodness, and it had a result. Can you share that with us this morning, what happened in that time?
Yes, I would. 5 years ago today, my wife drove me to rehab, and I was going to lose my wife, my son, and my niece that we were raising at the time to my addiction to alcohol, weed, and cocaine. You see, I grew up in a family that accepted this type of lifestyle, so I began drinking at 12, smoking weed at 15, and doing cocaine at 18. And I struggled with this until I encountered God twice while I was in rehab, and he showed me his goodness. I heard his voice tell me, I gave you a son that bears your name and last name, but it's not good enough for you because he is not from you. So I got on the phone and I called my 5-year-old son, Andrew, and he was very short with me. I said, Andrew, what's the matter? He says, don't worry, Daddy. I'll never forget you like my other dad. And God's voice came back and said, who will you serve? You or me? I chose him, but ultimately he had chose me. You see, my wife and I struggled to have kids, but even in my mess, God showed us favor and allowed us to adopt Andrew a year before I went to rehab. And that was just the beginning of God's goodness.
Wow. Wow. So you're in rehab in a dark and broken place. You're hearing the voice of this good God, and he's calling you. So that was 5 years ago. Can you share with us since then, how have you experienced God's goodness?
So my wife and I, prior to adopting Andrew, we were fostering him, so we were foster parents. So 4 months out of being out of rehab, we get a phone call that Andrew had a little brother who was 16 months old and needed a home. So we were so excited to welcome another son into our home. His name's Adrian. Adrian was very special to me because it was all in God's plan. Adrian's birthday is November 2nd, 2015, and my sobriety date is November 1st, 2016. But God wasn't done there.
What?
My wife and I, we were talking in June of 2019 about, I was talking about wanting to end our foster license, and she wanted a little girl. And I had told her, well, the only way we'll get a little girl is if they call us and they tell us that the boys have a little sister. So 2 weeks later, we get a phone call that the boys had a little sister who was 4 days old. And we were able to bring her home when she was 9 days old, and her name is Ava. And God has showed us so much favor, and he allowed us to adopt these three beautiful kids.
Wow. Wow. I think we have a picture of your family this morning. So if you wonder what the goodness of God looks like in Ralph's life, that's it right there. That's what the goodness of God looks like. So it's amazing, man. So you've experienced God's goodness in so many different ways. I know that because we're friends, but how is experiencing God's goodness, what has that done for your heart? How has that changed your life? Just tell us that.
So first of all, he gets all the praise and glory because he restored our marriage, and he allows me to be a husband. He allows me to be a son, a dad, a son-in-law, a brother-in-law, an uncle, and I get to go out and tell people about my mess, which became his message.
It's awesome, man. Thank you, Ralph.
Thank you.
Love you, man. Appreciate you, bro. What does the goodness of God look like? It can look like so many different things for all of us, but again, God in his nature is good. He's a good father who's giving good gifts. For Ralph, it looked like he gave him a family, restored his marriage. You need to get to know Ralph. That guy loves Jesus. He has a good heart. And as you experience the goodness of God, your heart will become good. Maybe you're listening today. Maybe you're here with us on campus, and you've been hearing about this good God. Maybe God in his goodness has been speaking to you. He's been working inside of you. You can feel the Holy Spirit working right now. You know, we're going to have baptisms in the courtyard directly after service. We have everything you need. If you want to come into a relationship with Jesus, if you want to come in and go all in and say, I give you my life, I'm a sinner, I'm broken, I got pain, I need you to remove this from me. I believe you died in my place, and I just want to take that final step of public obedience to declare that I want to follow Jesus and go all in. Don't resist him. I promise you, you step into God and his ways, you're going to experience his ways and goodness that you would never imagine. So lastly, as I think through the ways I've experienced the goodness of God in my life, there's one way that I've probably experienced his goodness more than any other way. And that's in worship. I can't tell you how many times I've shown up to a place like this. People gather, there's a worship band or someone on a guitar, and I show up and I'm feeling dry, weary, discouraged, disillusioned, broken. Maybe God seems like he's so far away. But it's in those moments where you step in and you say, God, I don't have much right now, but I'm going to give you what I got. And you step into that place and you sing these words full of truth. And you take a second to point your heart away from yourself onto a God who's fundamentally good. And I can't tell you how many times in that place I've come into a real and authentic encounter with a God who is bursting at the seams to show me and you his goodness. And I don't want to end with a theoretical exercise today. Here's what I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to do. He wants you those of you watching online, he wants you to encounter his goodness in a fresh way today as we worship together. And we're going to end today's message with a song called The Goodness of God. It's one of my favorite songs. Listen to some of the lyrics of this song. It says, I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. I want to invite you to stand up today. I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to remind us of how good God is. So I'm going to ask you right now if you're willing to open your hands. Maybe you open your hands and you put them up in the air, and it's just a symbol to say, God, I want to experience your goodness in my heart today. And I'm going to pray for us, and they're going to lead us in a song, and we're going to believe that the Holy Spirit is going to do a work among us. Father, we come to you this morning. We are so grateful for your character. We're so grateful for your goodness. Lord, we ask today that no matter what state we've shown up in, no matter what state we are watching this online right now, Lord, we need to be reminded of the goodness of who you are and what you do. Holy Spirit, would you work within our hearts that we would experience your goodness in such a way that your goodness as the fruit of the Spirit would flow out from the inside. And all the saints said, amen and amen.